The Daf Yudzayin. We got to the Mishnah on the bottom of Test Zayin Amud Beis. The Mishnah is going back to what we described yesterday about the different hashtachavos, about the different bowing downs. We had a machlokas whether it's 13 or 14 hashtachavayos. So the Mishnah says, "Heichan hayu hashtachavayos ha'elu?" Where exactly did these bowings take place? So the Mishnah explains, "Arba b'tzafon, arba b'darom, and shalosh b'mizrach, u'shtayim b'marav." Four in the north, four in the south. That's eight. Three in the east, that's 11, and then another two in the west, that's a total of 13. And Keneged, Shlosha Sasharim, there's 13 bows corresponding to the 13 gates that are positioned in these different locations of the base of Migdash. So the Mishnah describes now, Dromium, the south gates, southern gates, were Smuch and Lamar, were close to the west. So again, just to create the base of Migdash, we have an idea what's going on here. So let's say this is the east. We'll do that east, west, north, south. Makes sense. So you come in from behind me. The east, that's how you enter into the base of Migdash. You see the big Mizbeach. The ramp goes from the south. And then you go further in is the Mizbeach HaKetores on the center. The top, the north, was the Shulchan. The south was the Menorah. And then all the way in was the Kodesh Kedashim. So now we're talking about the southern gates, the four southern gates. So they were close to the west. The west is that way towards the Kodesh Kedashim. So the Dromium Smuchim Lamar, the southern gates were in the, towards the west out there. And what were they called? Shar HaElyon, Shar HaDelek, Shar Becharos, Shar Maim. These were the names of the gates. And of course, they describe something that took place in each of these gates. So the Gemara explains, Lama Nikar Shar Shimon Shar Maim. Why was one of the gates called the Gate of Water? So the Mishnah explains, this is also Gemara and Sukkah, the Shebo Machnisin Slochis Shel Nisa Chamayim Bechag, because that's the entrance they would come in when they would draw the water from the spring. They'd enter into this gate for the Nisa Chamayim that took place throughout Sukkot. Rabbi Eliezer ben Yaakov, he held Omer, Bo Hamayim Mifakchin Vasidim Lios Yotzin Mitachas Miftan Habayis. That loss of love of the Gemara is going to explain. This also appears in the Gemara in Sukkah as well, I believe. That in the future, there's going to be the spring that's going to come from the Kodesh Kedashim, and it's going to go through this gate. Lumasan, opposite the southern gates were the Tzafon, were the northern gates, which were also Smuch and Bimar, which northern west. And Shar Yechaniah, and Shar Karban, Shar Nashim, and Shar Hashir. These are the names of the four gates. V'lama nikra shemo Shar Yechaniah, Shebo Yatza Yechaniah, Bigalusa. Because that's where Yechaniah was exiled from Nebuchadnezzar, that's the gate he left from, so they gave it the title of Shar Yechaniah. Then the Mishnah finishes off saying, Shebe Mizrach, in the east was Shar Niknor, and that the Gemara in Yuma describes why it got that name. And Shnei Pishpishin, Hayu Lo Echa, Miyimino Echa, and Mismolo. So next to the big gate where you enter in was also two little, almost like little doggy entrances, a little tunnels you'd go in, small little entrance where they go in, and before they open up the Shar Niknor, the Kohanim would go around and making sure everything was in place, no one stole anything, and then they come back out, and from the inside, they'd open the Shar Niknor. So that's the two Pishpishin. The Gemara and Tamid talks about them. So then the Gemara says, and the final two were Shnaim Bimarav, the two in the west, which were behind the Kodesh Kedashim, Lohaya Lehem Shem. They had no name, they weren't used, they were just gates that were there. So the Gemara explains now, Masnisin, the author of the Mishnah that says 13 gates, goes according to Abba Yosef ben Yochananhi, Damar Kineged Shlosha Asar Sharim, that the 13 new bowings were connected to the 13 gates. Biram, Kirabanan, however, there's the opinion of the Rabbanan in Masechet Midos who holds Shiva Sharim Hayu Ba'azara. There were actually only 7 gates in the Beis HaMikdash and not 13. So Gemara asks, and Al Daitan the Rabbanan, according to the Rabbanan, that there were only 7 gates. So then, Heichan Hayu Hishachavas Halalu. So where exactly were these 13 bowings if there were not 13 gates to bow towards? So they explain, Kiyahi Ditninan, like the Mishnah Midas tells us, Taman over there, Shlosh Esrei Pratos Hayubo. There were 13 gaps, 13 breaches in the, there's a fence. It was called the Soreg. Around the Har Bayis, there's a little Soreg, a fence. So there are 13 breaches in this fence that was on the Har Bayis, not in the base of Migdash. Shepratzum Malcha Yavon, the Greeks had broken them down. The Chazu Gedarim B'nei Chashmonai, the Chashmonai, when they came in, they fixed these fences. The Gazu Kenegdan Shlosh Esrei Hishachavos. And corresponding to these 13 breaches, even though they were fixed, they instituted that one should do 13 bows when coming towards the Beis HaMikdash. The Gemara now quotes a pasuk in Zechariah It's referring to what we said in the Mishnah, that according to Rabbi Eliezer ben Yaakov, the Shar Maim was the area, the gate, that the spring that was going to flow during Yimos Mashiach is going to go through this gate. So the Gemara quotes the Pasuk in Zechariah again, that day of Yimos, the coming of the Mashiach, Yetzu Maim Chaim Yushalayim, a live spring is going to pass through Yushalayim. And Tani, the Brisa says, Mi Beis Kodesh Kadashim, it's going to be stored and starting off in the Kodesh Kadashim, Ad La Parochas, until the Parochas. It's going to be the size of Kikarne Siyale Uchiyale, like little antennas, I think, on the different, I don't know, grasshoppers, maybe. What do they say there?
Snails,
okay. And I think they still call them grasshoppers. I think Chagavim, they say in the Bavli. I don't know if they point this out. But okay. Min parochas ad mizbeach hazav. And then from the parochas until it gets to mizbeach hazav, further away, it's going to get a little larger. Oh, here's the next line. Kikarni chagavim, like the antennas of a grasshopper, which are slightly bigger. Then mi mizbeach hazav ad hazaros. Now it gets further away. It's going to get a little bit bigger. Kechutchel shesi, the size of a thin thread. And then min hazaros ad miftan habayis, when it goes outside of the Beis HaMikdash, kechutchel erev, and a little bit wider thread, a little thicker thread. And mikan ve'elach, from that point on, once it exits the Beis HaMikdash, kim mipa mipiapach, like the mouth of a jug. That's how the spring's going to slowly get bigger and bigger as it exits from the Beis HaMikdash. Gemara now quotes further psukim describing this flow. In the Yecheskel, it says, ksiv, v'nei mayim mifakim min hakosef hayimanis, the water is going to be coming from the jug that are on the shoulder, the right shoulder. B'teis ha'ish kadim, from the man on the east, when the man exits from the east, v'kav b'yado, some line in his hand, v'yamad elef ba'amah, he's going to measure it as 1,000 amos, v'avireinu b'mayim me'afsayim, he's going to pass through it, me'afsayim. So Gemara is going to darshan, what does it mean me'afsayim? He's going to pass through me'afsayim, ad karsula. Karsula is not so deep, I think it refers to what, the ankles, karsula, right? The ankles. And then he's going to go further, the Pasuk describes, where it's going to reach his ad birkaya, until it gets to his knees, a little bit deeper. Then he's going to go a little further down the water, till around his hips. And then ad masnaya, that's how high it's going to be. Mikan ve'elach, from that point on though, then it's going to be such a big river that a person can't pass through it. It's going to be so deep, no one can walk through it anymore. Afilu libiranim, even for boats, it's going to be to viranim gedola eino yichola lavorbo. Even a big boat can't pass through. Why can't a boat pass through a boat? If as long as it's buoyant, it could go in any depth of water. So my time, what's the reason? Could quote a pasuk in Yeshaya. The pasuk describes it. It only quotes the second half, but the beginning of the pasuk, it's important. It sets the stage here. The pasuk reads, "Kiim sham adir Hashem lanu mekom naharim." It's going to be the strength of Hashem in the water. Yeorim rach v'yadayim, wide as hands, which don't seem to be too wide. Bal telech bo ani shayit, that I can't walk through. V'tzi adir lo yavrenu, and a big boat, a strong boat, can't pass through either. Why not? Why can't it pass through? Kigo hamayim meisachu, the strength of the water. Mao meisachu milashim, it's too strong. It's too, I guess, it's too rapid. It's too wild and too wavy, perhaps for a boat to pass through this. And Amar Rav Huna ba'asrin karu l'shayata shchuna. In their place, they called a shayit, which is a type of boat. They refer to it as a shchuna. And therefore, it was just too strong of a water for the boat to pass through. Uferas yodav bekirbo kashe yifaris hasocha lischa. And he spread his hand inside as if he was trying to spread to try to swim there. Either way, we see from these psukim here, again, I don't know exactly what it's describing, but the overall idea that we're drawing out from this is that the water is going to get too deep and too rapid for one to swim or even to go in a boat, this massive spring that's going to shoot out of the Kodesh Kedosh. Gemara now asks, Mal Lischos. What does it mean, Lischos? So Amar Rabbi Yossi, Bei Rabbi Bon, it's a Lashon Mayin de Mismalin Ba'alma. Lashon of Sicha. It's going to, Lashon of speaking. Somehow the water is going to be speaking, it seems, from the, that's going to be part of the Nais. Okay.
Speaking about it,
that's what it is, yeah? Okay. There would be speech about the water because of the Nisan that's going to take place. Gemara now says, Ksiv, the Pasuk in Zechariah tells us that by Yom Ahu, on that day of the Biyat HaMashiach, Yeh Makor Niftach LeBeis David. The source is going to be open for the house of David. Uliyoshve Yerushalayim, those who live in Yerushalayim as well. Lechatas ulenidah. So what does it mean? What's the water doing for a chatas? What's it accomplishing for the nida? So Rabbi Shmuel bar Nachman b'shem Rabbi Yonason explains, mi beis David vad yoshe Yerushalayim. The water is going to sprout forth from the house of David all the way to the end of Yerushalayim. And they're all going to be ksherim lenida ulechatas. There's going to be enough water for it to have me'asa, arba'amsa, which is the size of a mikvah, so a woman who's a nida could go in there. And it's also going to be considered good enough for a chatas. A chatas is what the psukim described, the paraduma. The paraduma, you need to use water from maim chaim, from a live spring. So it's going to be both a large enough for a mikvah, for a nida. It's also going to become from a source of a mayan for use for the chatas. But that's only from Beis David out of Yerushalayim. But mikan ve'elach, from that point on, outside of Yerushalayim, may tarovosem. It gets mixed up with other types of waters, and it's going to still be ksherim l'nida. It'll still be large enough for a nida to go in there. It's still going to be arbam sa, but upsulim l'mechatas. It's no longer going to be considered ma'im chayim, because other waters and rivers are going to meet with it, and it's not going to be considered a fresh water from the spring. Now, that's all according to the first opinion of Rabbi Yonason. But comes along now, Amar Rabbi Elazar, he argues and says no. Mi beis David vado Yerushalayim, from beis Hamikdash until the end of Yerushalayim, it's ksherim lenido lechatas, like we said. But mikan ve'elach, from outside Yerushalayim already, it's mei katrisos hein, which is the water that descends from the mountains, and psulin lenido ulechatas. So now other waters are mixing together, and the lach is when it comes to mikvah, the water has to be rainwater that falls from one place. It can't be water that's flowed from elsewhere. So the flowing of the water from elsewhere is going to be overriding any of the spring water, and therefore I don't want to get involved in the mikvahs now, but it's going to disqualify this water from being used for a mikvah. Bar now quotes another pasuk, Ksiv, it's written in Yechezkel, Vayome Eli Hamayim Ha'ela Yotim El Haglila Hagadmona. Now he said to me that these waters are going to go out to the eastern part of the Galil. Zayama Shel Samcha. It's referring to a body of water called Yam Shel Samcha. Not sure which body of water it refers to. Does it say in English?
Mediterranean.
Yeah, Yam Shel Samcha, you're?
No. Lake Hula. Lake Hula in the Hula Valley, north of Kinneret.
Oh, yeah, I'm not familiar with it. Okay.
Yeah, north of Kinneret is the valley. The Hula, certain times a year there's a lake there. It probably drains.
Probably not in the summer then when I went to the areas.
It might not be there in the summer, I'm not sure.
Okay, fine. V'yardu el ha'arava, and then it would go towards the west, which is a reference to Zeyam Shetiveria, which is the Kinneret. And then Bo Hayama, then it would go down south, which is referring to Zeyam HaMelach. And then El Yam HaMutsayim, referring to the probably the eastern one, really western one, but it must be north in this case. Zeyam HaGadol, that refers to the Mediterranean. So Lama Nikra Shemo Mutzan. Why is it called Mutzan? Which is Lashon of exit. Keneged Shtei Pamim Sheyotza, the corresponding to the two times that the Yam HaGadol exited and covered the entire world. Echad Bedur Enosh, V'Echad Bedur Aflaga. While these two times that the water had overflowed, that's why it's called Mutzan, because they had a big yitziah of covering the world. The Gemara now says, Rabbi Lazer B'Shem Rabbi Chanina, B'Rishona Yotza ad Kabria. Initially, during Dor Enosh, the Yam HaGadol had extended itself until an area called Kabria. Is there an English city?
It's part of Italy. Yeah.
Part of Italy, okay.
Calabria.
Oh, Calabria, okay. That doesn't help me. Ubashnia, yeah.
Huh? That's Rogan grow. Calabria, so that's Rogan grow in Italy.
Okay. Not my industry.
No,
Ubashnia, Yotza ad Kefi. And the second time, Dor Aflaga, it went all the way out to Kefi.
Barbaria.
Barbaria.
Barbary Coast.
Barbary Coast. Okay. So Rabbi Acha b'shem Rabbi Chanina, he says it differently. He says Barishon initially Yatsa during Dor Enosh, the water went out ad Kefi Barbaria. Right, that's Barbary Coast. You said Ubishnia Yatsa ad Akko ad Yafo. Those are cities I'm familiar with. Then the he brings a pasuk. It says ad Po Savo below Sosif. I guess it's a drasha ad Akko. Savo below Sosif. He's going to go to Akko, but no further than that. Upo Yashis Begon Galecha. The pasuk says Ad Yafo Ashis Gon Galecha. Up until Yafo is where it's going to go. So until Akko and Yafo is the end of the water where it went out during the times of Dor HaFlaga. Gemara now says, Nicha yama rabav yama demilcha. I understand that the if the water, this spring they're referring to that came from the Kodesh Kodashim that went out and mixed together with the Yama Gadol and mixed together with the Yama Melach, the Shulamitkan, because since the waters were salty, so now this water came along from the base of Mikdash and it sweetened it. The Pasuk says, we'll see in a moment, it was a near pramaim, it sweetened it, it had made it healthy. But Yama de Teveria, Yama Samcha, what was the need for it? Imagine the Yama Teveria, the Kinneret, and this other area, the Yam de Samcho, the water was probably already sweet and tasty. What was the need to have it mixed together with this Mayan from the Kodesh Kodashim? So the Gemara explained, you're right. With respect to the water, there's no need to mix anything together, but with respect to Larabos de Gossam, to cause the fish to procreate and produce and reproduce, that's what was the benefit. The Chsiv Bey, Lemina, Tia de Gossam. So we have and the pasuk continues, Gidgas, Kidgas, Hayam, Hagadol, Rabba Meod. The fish reproduced. Limine minim tiyad degasim. For many different species were created because will be created from this mayan. Gemara now says, Tani, Amar Rabbi Shimon ben Gamliel, Maisa shalachti litzedon. One time I went to this place called Seidon, Vehevi ulefana yosim ishlosh meos mine dogim. They brought forward to me 300 types of fish, bitam choyachad, within one plate. I guess he's just describing of how many types of species of fish there are, and there's much more than that even throughout the world.
That's Lebanon,
Sidon.
Yes.
Sidon, okay. I clearly don't know the geography of these cities.
Sidon and Tarshish are in modern-day Lebanon.
Uh-huh, okay.
Tyre and Sidon.
Okay, maybe you should have brought a map in for me. But okay. So the pasuk says, "Venir pu hamayim." So the water is going to become healed. What does this mean? So, "Betzosav ugvav lo yirafu lamelach nitanu." The pasuk afterwards, a few pasukim later, it says it's not going to heal. So which one is it going to do? Is it going to nirpru or lo yirpru? So the Gemara says ksiv nirpru amayim v'at amras lo yirpru amayim. The Gemara just repeats that question. So makom hu ushmo v'lo yirafu. Lo yirafu is a place. It's not a description of what the mind is going to accomplish. Obviously not pashup shot, but there's a stira. So the water is going to be merapeh and it's going to go to a place that's called v'lo yirafu. Okay, the Gemara now goes further in describing the Nevui V'cheskel. Ksiv, the pasuk says, V'alhanachal yale al-sfaso. The river is going to go on the river banks. Mizeh mizeh, both sides of the river. Kol eitz machal, all the fruit trees. Lo yibol aleiv lo yitam puryo. L'chadoshav yivaker. So what does this mean? So what does lo yibol aleiv mean?
The leaves won't fall off.
And the puryo won't yitam, the fruit won't seize. L'chadoshav yivaker, and each month it's going to renew its fruit. Bikurim. So Tani, the Brisa says, Amar of Yehuda, Lefi Shebolim Hazeh, Tfu Osa L'shisha Chadashim. In this world, it takes 6 months for the grains to grow. From Tishrei, when you start seeding and planting everything, it's not until Nisan everything's ready. It takes a total of 6 months. But V'ilan Ilan Osa L'shnai Masachodesh. It takes a full year, full 12 months for fruits to grow. But in the future, in the times of Mashiach, every month the grains are going to grow new. And every 2 months, the fruit and the trees are going to grow back. So my time, what's the reason? L'chadoshav yivaker. Chadoshav is the plural. So every 2 months, yivaker, the fruit trees are going to renew itself. So Gemara quotes an opinion that argues that Amar Rabbi Yossi. The Yossi says, "Lefi shebalam hazeh atua osa l'shisha chadashim." In this world, it takes 6 months for grains to grow. Vilan osa l'shnei masar chodesh, and fruit trees grow every year. About lasid lava, what's going to be in the future? Atua osa l'chamisha asar yom, 15 days only for the grains to regrow. Vilan osa l'chodesh echan, it's only going to take 1 month for the fruits to grow back. Why? Shekein matinu she'asas hatua bimei Yoel lechamisha sayom v'karv hamimenu haomer. This is the Gemara in Tainus describes. 1 year there's a tremendous famine and there's a nace that in 15 days the grains grew what would normally take 6 months. So we see that's a capability. That's a nace. So that's what's going to happen. Lost lavo is 15 days for the grains. And I guess by that they're going to, I guess the point is that the ratio of fruits to grains is always 2 to 1, so it's 15 days for the grains, it's going to be 30 days for the fruits. My taima. So how do they know that that's what happened during the times of Yoel? The Gemara quotes a pasuk of Nei Tzion Gilu v'Simchu b'Hashem Lokeichem. They were so happy with Hashem. Kinasin lachem. They gave them esam morel tzedaka v'yored lachem geshem. He did a tremendous tzedaka by giving them rain after there was a tremendous drought throughout the year. Morel umalkosh barishon. That the morel is usually the first rain, the malkosh is the second rain. That all happened together in the first shot. And again, look in the Gemara and Tainus for a lengthier description of what took place there. So ma mekayim Rabbi Yosi chadash of Yivaker. If Rabbi Yossi holds that it only took will only take a month, las lavo. So why does the pasuk say lechadashiv 2 months to have the fruits renewed? So he says shebechol chodesh chodesh yev mevaker. It doesn't mean 2 months. It means all the months, the plural, the months are going to produce new fruits each month at a time. So the Gemara now says valeu litrufa. So in las lavo, the fruit will be eaten and the leaves are going to be for medicine. So Rabbi Yochanan Amar. Tarfe mitzitz aleya, that they're going to be able to squeeze out and suck the juice from it, the moisture from the leaves, utarf mizona, and it's going to be for food. So Rav Shmuel both say, or that machlok is actually, chad amar lehatir peh shelimalim. So in what way is it going to be a trufa? How is it going to be a medical benefit? So lehatir peh shelimalim, the person who is mute, he's going to now be able to speak. The Chadamar, the other argues and says, no, lahatir peh shelmatam, for a woman who couldn't give birth, who couldn't have a child, this will be matir that, will give a bracha for her. So Rabbi Chanina, Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi, Chadamar, another machlokes, la same machlokes, I mean, one holds Chadamar, lahatir peh akaros, to allow a woman who is barren to have a child, and Chadamar, lahatir peh ilmim, to a person who is mute, to give him a voice. Gemara now goes back to the Mishnah. The Mishnah says, "Lu masan b'tzafon," connected opposite the southern gates, where there were four northern gates. So at motzeh b'shash ala nevuchadnezzar lekan. So when ba v'yashiv lo b'dofnei shel antochia. So what was happening here? Hold on a second. Right. So when Nebuchadnezzar came to Eretz Yisrael, he wanted to remove the king Yehoyachan, who was the king at the time. And so, but he came. Yashav lo b'dofnei shel antochia. So he sat in the wall, the tchum of the city of Antochia. And v'yatsa Sanhedrin gedola l'krasso. Sanhedrin went out to greet Nebuchadnezzar. V'amru lo, Sanhedrin said to him, he gives man abayis hazel l'chariv. They asked him, is it now time for the base of Migdash to be destroyed? So amru lahen, Nebuchadnezzar responded back to them, I didn't come to destroy it, but also she melachti aleichem tenu li v'ani holech. I just want the king Yehoyachin given to me, and I'm going to go off on my way. So Bav Amru li Yehoyachin melch Yehuda, they told him that you are being looked, they're looking for you. And Nebuchadnezzar Ba'ilach, he's asking for you. So Kevin Shishama, once Yehoyachin heard this, Mehen Kach, he heard what they told him, Nata Maftechol Shebeis HaMikdash. He took the keys from the Beis HaMikdash, Ala Lagago Shehecha, he went to the top of the Beis HaMikdash, Amr Lefanav, he says, Ribono Sholom, L'Shavar, the past, Hayinu Ne'amadim L'cha, we were trusted by you, V'hayu Maftechosecha, Mesum Lanu, and you had given your keys to us, Achshav She'ein Anu Ne'amadim, now we are no longer trusted by you, Harei Maftechosecha, Mesum Lach, here your keys back. To train Amaram, Amaram had a machlokis, what exactly did he do with these keys? So Chadamar Zrak, and one says he threw them up into the air. Viola Yardu never came back down. He just threw it up. It's like a balloon and never saw it ever again. And Chadamar one said, Ba, Kimin Yadin Talasan Miyado. And one says that a hand came down from Shemayim and took the keys from him. Now, Kevin Shiro, Kol, Chorev, Yehuda, once all the various officers saw what took place, Cain, they saw what happened from Shemayim, the keys disappeared. So Alu L'Rosh Kagosein V'Naflu V'Mesa. They all went to the rooftops and jumped. They knew this was the end of the Beis HaMikdash. They jumped and died. Hadu Dichsev, that's what it says in Yeshaya. Masa Gei Chizayon Malach Eifo Kialisa Kulach L'Gago. See what happened. They all walked. They went to the rooftops. Teshuos Melea Ir Homia V'Gomer. And it goes on to explain that Kir Aliza Chalalayach, all these corpses on the ground, Lo chalecherev, they were not killed by swords, v'lo meisei milchama, not from war, but rather they jumped off on their own because they knew the end was here. Okay, the new Mishnah tells us now in Yud Zayin Mabez as follows. Shlosha asar shulchanos hayu b'mikdash. There were 13 tables in the Beis HaMikdash. Shmona shel shayis. 8 were made of marble. B'beis hamitpachayim. that was in the slaughterhouse there in the northern area where they do all the shechita. The halacha is that an ola has to be betzafon. Those who say ezim mekomim every morning, so the ola has to be the betzafon. The other kachi kalim are allowed to be anywhere in the base of Mikdash in the Azara. But it seems that even though it could be done in the south, I think most of the shechita was done in the tzafon anyways. So you had 8 marble tables in the north where the house, where the shechting was taking place. And shalei and medichin as a kravayim. So after you shechted the animals, then you clean out the insides of the karbanos on these marble tables. So that counts for 8 of the tables. Shnaim v'marav hakevesh. Now there are 10 additional tables on the west of the ramp going up to the mizbeach. Echad shel shayish ve'echad shel kesef. One was marble, one was made of silver. And al shel shayish on the marble one, nosin es eivarim. They place the different limbs of the carbon on the marble one. Val shel kesef on the silver table, klei shayish, they place the various utensils on top of it. So that covers 10 of the tables. We have 3 more we have to discover. Ushnaim be'ulam mibifnim. There are 2 tables that were inside al pesach habayis, the entrance to the ulam. Echad shel shayish ve'echad shel zav. Now one was marble this year time, and one was gold. Al shel shayish nosu lechem apanim bichnisasa. So when you would they baked the lechem apanim fresh, they placed them on this marble table. Val shel zav b'tiyaso, and the golden table was used when they removed the lechem apanim, they placed them on the gold. On the golden table. And why? Shemal makodesh lo meridim, because you always go up in level, you don't go down in Kedusha. And the Echad Shazav mibifnim, and the Shulchan that we know of the base of Mikdash, the golden one, was inside She'olav Lechem Apanim Tamid, where the Lechem Apanim were always placed. So again, this was the order. They had, when they baked the Lechem Apanim, they placed them on this marble table. They left it there. And then when it's ready to transfer over on Shabbos, they'd switch over the roles, the changing of the guards of the Kohanim. So the way it worked was, according to at least the way we pass from the Tanakhama, the new bread they took and pushed off the old bread. So then they caught the old bread on the other side, and they put that old bread, the old lechem apanim, on the gold table. So there are 3 tables that were used in changing over the lechem apanim. The gold, first marble, then the gold shulchan, and then a final gold shulchan until it finally was divided out for the Kohanim of the Mishmeres to eat from. The Gemara now tells us, Tani, al shel kesef, on the silver table, that the lechem apanim
The kesef was for the clay sharis.
Yeah, the
lechem apanim was shayish and zav. The silver one was next to the kevesh where they put the
So Tani the Braisa says al shel kesef. No, the lechem apanim b'chnisaso. It wasn't on a marble table. It was on a silver table. Rabbi Yossi b'shem Rabbi Shmuel bar Rav Yitzchak. And others say Rabbi Hanania, Mati Ba, B'shem Rabbi Yochanan, less concha kesef, it wasn't that of silver, rather it was a marble table that the lechem upon him were placed on, B'chnisaso, B'pneshu Martiach, because if you place on a silver one, so the silver one is going to, cause it's going to generate the heat from the heat of the lechem upon him and cause it to cook more than before, as opposed to marble, it's going to just stay cold and not generate and conduct any heat. So lo kain, the Gemara says lo kain tani ze'echa, does not say one of the brises that have one of the nisim that was in the base of Mikdash, that min nisim shenasu be'base of Mikdash shekashem shumanichin also chom kacha yimotzin also chom. So they placed lechem upon him on Shabbos hot, and the next Shabbos when they took it off, it was there for an entire week, it was still hot. Shenemar, it says lasum lechem chom biyom ulakcho. So what's that? So therefore what? So either way, even if it was placed on silver table, that wouldn't affect, it wouldn't cause it to go bad any quicker, because the whole lechem apanim, the ability for it to stay hot for a week, it was an ace. So it didn't make a difference what type of table you place this on, whether it's marble or whether it's silver. That shouldn't be a factor. So the Gemara explains that Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi Amar, ain maskirin maisa nisim. Because, in other words, there ain't somchin al anase. We're not tomich on the nace, so we put it on marble to avoid it from heating up. It was a nace anyway, so that was a nace, but we don't lechachil expect the nisim to happen. So the Gemara now says, Bar and Kame, they asked Rabbi Elah the following question. L'hoya sham lechem, ma'ola nicho, l'shabbat haba. Let's say there is no new lechem upon him for the new week. So are you allowed to leave a lechem upon him from last week, which is supposed to be removed this week? Can you leave it on for another week until new lechem is baked? So Amar Lon, so the response was, Rabbi Lo explained, Ksiv nasata al shulchan lechem apanim lefanai tamid. It has to be there always. And lechem apanim afilu pasul. So even a lechem panim pasul, it's pasul. If you leave it there for an extra week, it's going to be pasul. But that's, we don't care about it. It just means you can't eat it. But there's a din that the shulchan has to always be with the lechem apanim. It's actually an interesting piece. Try to remember where I saw this from. It's either Rav Asher Weiss, Minchas Asher, or it's possible I saw this in... there's a blue sheet of Mekubetis on Seder Kadshim. He might have this shtickle about it, the idea that the Shulchan is only considered a Kli when it has Lechem Aponim on it. Without Lechem Aponim, it's not considered a Shulchan, not called a Kli. That's its whole function. As opposed to menorah. The menorah is still called a menorah even if there's no candles being lit. It's a menorah. But the definition, what makes the Shulchan into a Shulchan, is if it has Lechem Aponim. And I think every single time the Shulchan is mentioned, it always says Lechem Aponim. It attaches the two, which shows it's only Kli with a Lechem Aponim on it. So we see from the Gemara, afilu le lechem apanim is puzzle, that's what really makes it into a shulchan. And if there's no lechem apanim, it means you're missing one of the kelim in the Beis HaMikdash. Okay. Gemara now says, Asara shulchanos asa shlomo. There are 10 tables that Shlomo HaMelech made. This is what Divrei Yomim tells us. Dichsevaya shulchanos asara vayanach bahichal chamishim yomim chamishim ismol. In addition to the 13 that we just described here, Shlomo HaMelech made an addition, 10 more of them. Five on each side of the Shulchan in the Heichal, there are five wad on each side that Shlomo HaMelech made. So the Gemara says, Ein Tamar, if you're going to say that Chamisha B'Darom, Chamisha B'Tzafon, five in the north, five in the south, V'alo Ein HaShulchan Kasher Ela B'Tzafon Shenemar, V'Shulchan Titen Al Tzela Tzafon. So the lach is that the Shulchan, again, if I have my image here, the Shulchan's in the north. So now the problem is, if you're saying, where do the five tables go of each side, the 10 tables of Shlomo, you're putting five small tables between Moshe's Shulchan, five tables between that and the wall, that's going to disqualify Moshe Rabbeinu's Shulchan, because that's supposed to be up against the wall, the northern wall. So that can't be how it's situated. It can't be south and north of the Shulchan. So V'alo, again, Ein Shulchan, Ela kasher ela b'tzafon shenemar v'ashulchan titen al tzela tzafon, must be up against, almost up against the northern wall. So ma tamalomar chamishim yamin chamishim mismol, ela must be chamishim yamin shulchanu shemoshe v'chamisha mismol. It must be, I guess, on the east and on the west of Moshe's shulchan, as opposed to the north and south. Okay. Gemara says now, Afa Pikein, even though that's the case, Lo Haya Masader Ela B'Shamosha B'Lavad. Even though there are an additional 10 Shulchanos now, the only Shulchan that we actually place Lechem Aponim on were that of Moshe Rabbeinu's. Shenemar, as it says, Es HaShulchan Asher Olav Lechem Aponim. It says it's a HaShulchan, the Shulchan. It doesn't say, V'al Shulchan Es Shulchanos Asher Aleihem Lechem Aponim. It says, As HaShulchan, only one Shulchan, the Shulchan of Moshe, had the Lechem Aponim. Mar now says, Rabbi Yossi Bey, Rabbi Yehuda Omer, he argues and says, no, Al Kulan Haya Masader, each of the Shulchanos, all 11 now, all 11 Shulchanos in the Heichal had Lechem Aponim. Shenamar, as it says in Divrei Yomim, Ves HaShulchanos Valehem Lechem Aponim. First pasuk that they all had Lechem Aponim. Gemara now says, Tani, Mizrach u'Marav hayinusunim. They're placed in east and west. That's how I mentioned before, not between the Shulchan and the wall, but east and west of the Shulchan. Divrei Rebbe, B'Rebbe Elazar, B'Rebbe Rebbe Shimon Omer, Tzon v'Darm hayinusunim. He argued and said that no, it was between, it was north and south. So seemingly this machlokus is whether or not, it's probably tali on whether or not you placed the Lechem Aponim on all 11 or not. You place them on all 11, so it makes sense to go north and south, because there's nothing in the way. The most northern Shulchan is going to have Lechem Aponim, and all of them are going to have Lechem Aponim. But if you assume that the 10 of Shlomo have no Lechem Aponim, so then the 5 closest to the northern wall will have no Lechem Aponim, will be Pasul. So you probably have to move it east to west if you hold that there were no Lechem Aponim on the other 10 Shulchanos. I think they're connected. Gemara now says, Man damar mizrach marav nicha. The one who holds that they're east to west, everything makes sense. Kulan ruin l'sherus. They all kosher. Oh, that's what I think I just said. Okay. But man damar tzafon v'darom, nimtza shulchan v'darom. Okay, fine. So now, is that a stopping point now?
You just see where it's in the minion. Right,
I missed. Say it again?
No. Why? Because
there's
nobody.
Yemi's here.
No.
I'm
no.
here.
Not Yemi, yo.
Okay, we'll stop here.
What?
We have...